Amen. It is great to be with you today. I'm always surprised on the last Sunday of the year that people remember to show up for church. You know, it's that weird week between Christmas and New Year's. It's that odd purgatory without much going on. You have a few more days before you have to start trying to improve your life, right? With your New Year's resolutions. You know, do your January self a favor and consume all the calories in your house right now, right? Search the couches for that stray caramel corn so that you can start January fresh. It's that stupor week where it's hard to remember what day it is. Congratulations, you remembered it was Sunday and you came to church. Well done. You know, this Advent season, we have been looking at the story of Jesus through the eyes of Revelation. We've been emphasizing that Jesus is not merely the baby born in a manger, as important as that is, but he is the risen Christ, and he is the coming King. And the details of the birth of Jesus are an important part of the story, but they are just part of the story. So the sermon today, as we end this year, as we end this decade, as we end our celebration, celebrating the 50th anniversary of Brentwood Baptist established in this community in 1969, you may ask yourself the question, so just what exactly is God up to? Is he still there? Admit it. Sometimes you might ask yourself that question. Is he still up there? Is he still down here? Why doesn't he do something? Or why doesn't he do it differently? My friends, God is always up to something. You know this. Our God is a God on the move, reaching out, reconciling, healing, rebuilding, restoring. God has a purpose in history and a purpose for history. He has a purpose for you as an individual. He has a purpose for his people, the church, those that are gathered right here in this room and those that are gathered today all around the world. And he is working out those purposes constantly in places that are close to us, in places that are far away from us, all around the world, all the time, with all sorts of people. I don't know if you're a news junkie or not, but let me ask you this. Where do you get your news? And whether you listen to Fox News or MSNBC, you are probably not getting the latest and greatest of God's movement around the world. It is indeed good news. And so Psalm 105 is a blueprint. It's a roadmap to remind us of what he has done, what he's up to, and how we as God's people live in response to what God is doing. So if you would, stand with me, and we're going to read the first six verses of Psalm 105. And I want to invite you, if you will, read it out loud with me, and then keep your Bibles open as we dive in. Psalm 105, verses 1 through 6. It's an old song for looking ahead. Let's read together. Give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name. Proclaim his deed among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing praise to him. Tell about all his wondrous works. Honor his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Remember the wondrous works he has done, his wonders and the judgments he has pronounced. You offspring of Abraham, his servant, Jacob's descendants, his chosen ones. And so, Father, your people, Abraham's offspring, Jacob's descendants, your chosen one, we are listening. Amen. You may be seated. So in verses 1 and 2, do you see here the double dimension of our worship and our words? Vertically, we praise and we thank Him, we sing to Him, and as we worship Him, we are supposed to tell other people about Him, not only who He is, but about what He does, His deeds and His works. And do you notice here in verse 1, we are told who to tell. It says that we are to proclaim His deeds among your friends, that's included, among your neighborhood, that's included, people like you, that's inferred, but it says peoples, not just people. You see, God is concerned and God loves people who are just like you, but He is also concerned about people who are not like you, who may speak a different language, who may live in a different place, who may live in a different way. God is not only interested in making His deeds known by His people to just random people, but to all the peoples of the world. Look at verses 3 and 4. We see in these verses how we are to live and to conduct ourselves in response to all that God has done. We seek His honor. We reflect and mirror His holy reputation with our holy lives and our holy relationships. It says that we seek God. And here's a newsflash. We don't look for God because He is lost. God is not lost, but rather, because of our limited understanding and our limited capacity, we know this. God can often appear hidden to us. He can appear veiled. And that is why the psalmist is telling us time and time again to remember. We must remember because we are so prone to forget. Look at verses 5 and 6. We are reminded to remember. My faith, my vision, our perspective, it waxes and wanes. We're like a little boat tossed on the ocean. And here in verse 6, He reminds us of who we are, our identity. Offspring of Abraham, descendants of Jacob, we are His chosen people. And have you asked yourself, what have you been chosen for? Not for your comfort, not for your advancement as the world defines it, but for His glory as a mission people to the peoples of the world. Years ago, there was a self-proclaimed atheist who claimed that he could prove that God didn't exist. And so he gathered a crowd in front of him and he said, "God, if you exist," in front of all these people, "come down right now." Well, nothing happened. "See," the atheist claimed, "this proves that God doesn't exist." And a woman in the crowd shouted back, "No, sir, this proves that God is not taking orders from atheists." And He's not taking orders from me and you either, is He? God does not require our permission, our input, or our feedback. His ways, His judgments, His pronouncements are wondrous. Not just wonderful, but beyond sometimes understanding and comprehension. You know this in your own life. Sometimes God's will makes perfect sense. And sometimes God's ways defy all logic and all explanation. Friends, as you go into a new year, into a new decade, can your faith handle God's methods, God's priorities, and God's timetable? I encourage you in this down week to go home and spend some time in Psalm 105. And in the ensuing verses, God takes His people through a remembrance of a 500-year span of history. 400 of those years in which God's people were slaves in Egypt. You may be familiar with the story. God promised Abraham a new country. But Abraham died only owning a cave in which to bury his dead. God promised Abraham to multiply his descendants as numerous as the stars of the sky and the sand on the shore. But Abraham died with only one son of the promise, Isaac. God told Joseph that Joseph would rule over his father and brothers, but God didn't tell him that this route to fulfillment would include spending his 20s, 10 years, in an Egyptian dungeon. God is always up to something. I'll ask it again. Can your faith handle God's methods, his priorities, and his timetable? Because you see, my friends, God is indeed up to something. He is on the move. And through Jesus, the peaceful baby in the manger, he broke down the dividing wall of hostility between Jews and Gentiles, and he is making a family out of every tribe, tongue, nation, and people. And my friends, you know this. We tend to hyper-individualize our faith. And we know that God does save individuals. In this psalm alone, he mentions individuals: Abraham, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Aaron. But he called them to what? To a corporate task of knitting and quilting a people together for his glory, a team. And if we're not careful, we tend to look at church like theater. We come in as individuals, we do our thing, and we don't really form close relationships. And so if we don't like one church, we change to another that suits us better, or we drop out and we do our own thing. Who needs the church? People ask all the time. You need the church. I need the church. The world needs the church. Because you see, God's purpose is not just to save individuals, but to form this body, this holy community. And if you, my friend, are not committed to being built together as a body, as a local church, you are not in line with God's purpose for history. And so we remember not just what God has done for me, but what God has done for you and what God has done for us. If I only care about what God has done for me, I have a very limited view of God. But if I open myself up and I care and I celebrate, I rejoice with you when you rejoice, and I weep with you when you weep, my capacity to know God grows, because it's not just me and God, but I see God in you and I see God in us. God gets bigger. And as God pulls back the curtain and gives us a glimpse into his wondrous deeds, listen carefully. Fear decreases and confidence in God increases. When you see and have eyes to see and ears to hear what God is doing in the world, your apathy, and that is an affliction that assaults us between the fear of the world and our apathy of what God is doing because we're just busy doing our own thing. We need to wage war on fear and apathy, and as we do, our confidence in God increases. And so what is God up to? As we, God's people, live in this place, Brentwood Baptist across 8 congregations, God is causing us to ask hard questions about racial unity. What do we do not only to reach the peoples of the world near and far, but how do we inside the walls of the church reflect God's diversity? We're partnering with Project Connect, a ministry in Madison that has now moved to South Nashville or expanded to South Nashville. Alan and Michelle Murdoch, they're members of this church. We're going to partner with them. And over a 3-year period, we are going to take 60 families and we're going to walk with them as they seek to break the generational curse of poverty. And what our Project Connect friends have taught us is that we can provide all the tutoring, all the assistance, all the food, and we will do those things. But if you do not provide a safe and secure place to live, all the mentoring and all the partnership is suboptimized. So we are going to be putting these 60 families in safe and secure housing. So at the end of that 3 years, they can truly be on their feet and break those poverty chains. We've helped start the International Leadership Coalition. You know that the world is coming to Nashville. By the way, that doesn't mean we stop going into all the world, but we go into the all the world as we travel and as we reach out right here. There's a slide I want to show you. This happened here in Williamson County just a few days ago. We are partnering with the International Leadership Coalition to plant a church among South Asians. And so they had 200 people at this gathering. Less than half were believers. There were dozens of Hindus and Muslims, and they came to hear the gospel story. And we have the opportunity as God's people to start healthy churches full of people from all over the world right here in our community. And it's not just we together that are doing great things. I mean, God has blessed our church with some amazingly talented people. Steve and Charmion Moore have been members of our church for years. And years ago, he went down to Guatemala when he was at another church, and he fell in love with the Guatemalan people and was broken by their poverty, and he said that he must do something. So do you know what he has done? He has started Guatemala's first children's hospital. Since 2011, they have performed 6,000 free pediatric surgeries, partnering with organizations like Duke Children's Hospital, Vanderbilt Children's Hospital, Denver Children's Hospital. That's us. Many of you know about the exciting things happening with our deaf congregation. The Deaf Center was built not just to be a center for deaf worship for our deaf congregation, but a training base for deaf missions, evangelism, and discipleship here in the States and all around the world. In January, 9 new students come to us for 6 months to earn 15 units of theological credit from Union University. This 9, 2 are from Thailand, 2 are from Indonesia, 4 are from the States. Do you know we have over 40 graduates since we've started the Deaf Theological Center? 12 of those 40 are working on the Deaf Way Bible. Here's the next slide. And you can download this. And even if you don't know sign language, download it and use it as a prayer prompt that deaf men and women all around the world would truly hear the gospel story. And so there's Deaf Way Bible. And then you go to the next landing page. We not only have uploaded stories in American Sign Language, but see all those icons, all those pictures, and there are flags? That's sign languages from all of those places that have Bible stories. So I don't know what all of those are, but here are some. There's America there, right, in the top left, American Sign Language, Chinese Sign Language, Thai Sign Language, Mexican Sign Language, Czech Sign Language. That's what God is doing here. You know, about 15 years ago, we had 3 missionary units. A unit can be an individual, a couple, or a single person. We had about 3 serving around the world. We now have over 40 in 25 countries. God is doing some great work. This last slide I want to show you. I spend a lot of time looking at this slide. Just take a minute. Progress of the gospel. What does the green represent? The green represents the established church, not the perfect church, not that there's still not work to do, but the church is rooted. The yellow part of the world, it's the formative church. Maybe it's a place where the gospel is growing. It used to be red, it's now gone to yellow. Or maybe it was a place that used to be green, and it's gone backward. formative, or nominal. And look at that red. The red represents the unreached, or the least reach, places where there are few to no Christians. Listen, with all of our technology, and let's keep that map up there for a couple of minutes. For all of our technology, and all of our education, and all of our wealth, the church has been around 2,000 years, and do you realize that it's estimated that 2 billion people still have never heard the name of Jesus and have never met a Christian? You know, we've talked about how the world is more like a waffle than a pancake. God's word does not spread evenly. Some wells are full, other wells are empty. Do you know where is the fastest growing church in the world today? They have no budget, no 501c3 status, no seminary. They're not issuing charitable contribution statements at the end of the year. It's in Iran. Muslim background Iranians are leading a quiet but mass exodus out of Islam and bowing their knees to the Jewish Messiah. And along with this vast movement, they have kindled a love for Israel and the Jewish people. Iran, the sworn enemy of Israel, there is this underground church in Iran where people pray for Israel. God is up to something. This Iranian awakening is a rapidly reproducing discipleship movement. They own no property or buildings. They have no central leadership. And gasp, it is led predominantly by women. Matthew 24, 14, and the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world so that all nations will hear it, and then the end will come. So my friends, for you as an individual, as a family, as a church, how do we in 2020 and beyond, how do we say yes to more? How do we not just admire from afar, but what is required? How can we help? How can we learn? And let's face it, folks, we are Abraham's offspring. What does that mean? God told Abraham, I'm going to bless you and your descendants, and you are going to bless the nations of the world. You are to be a missionary people. But let's be honest. When you look at the red part of the world, what is your first response? Whew, so glad I don't live there. How do we make sure those people don't come here? How do we contain that problem? Or because you are oriented to what God is up to, you see it as an opportunity, your heart is broken by their lostness, and you do whatever it takes for the church to grow and to be rooted, and for that red to change to yellow and then to green. Because, my friends, the Lord wants to deal a decisive blow against dead religion that is in us and around us. He is on the move. He is up to something. And so we move forward in confident, humble faith, with joy-filled, broken hearts, not with pride, because how could God's people be prideful when we worship one who washed the feet of others? There is an Iranian husband and wife who recently moved back to Iran from the States. You see, they had lived in America for a time, and the wife told her husband, there seems in America to be a satanic lullaby among God's people. Christians here, everyone seems so sleepy, and I'm feeling sleepy too. My friends, laziness is a bigger threat than persecution. Distraction is a bigger threat than arrest. Comfort is a bigger threat than prison. Materialism is a bigger threat than being beaten. Apathy is a bigger threat than any anti-conversion law. So as we go boldly and joyfully, remembering what he has done in this new year, as we look back on his faithful past, may the headlines in the news become your prayer prompts. The real story in Iran isn't political, it's spiritual. Amen. Study the map and pray. Because if God sent his Son for all peoples to know his love, if Jesus was born and died for all peoples to know his love, then we must live and die for the world to know his love. We remember and we tell of his wondrous deeds. Would you pray with me? Our dear and gracious Father, help us to remember your faithfulness. Not only what you have done for us as individuals, but what you have done for God's people. Father, give us eyes to see and ears to hear, that when we see those maps, the red, the yellow, the green, that you would break our hearts. And as we pray, maybe there is someone here today who has not yet accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. Today can be the day of salvation. The God of Abraham, the God of Jacob is pursuing you. He's not lost, you're lost. Come and find us in the parlor right outside these back doors and let us walk with you. Maybe you need a church home. Maybe you've been orbiting this place for a while and you want to know how to connect and go deeper. Maybe you need to commit to pray for the persecuted church. Maybe you need to pray that we would start to wake up and be less sleepy. Whatever it is, God is up to something. And so may the God that is on the move, who called you into his glorious light to be a person and we a people of hope, may we walk confidently in that light into the new year. And we pray all of this in God's mighty name, amen.
We sang this great hymn earlier. I think we should go sing.